Peyton and I have been using Daily Harvest, and we absolutely love it. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of gluten, fillers, seed oils, added starches, and sugars. It really takes the guesswork and effort out of eating food I know is good for me.
Typically, sticking to healthy habits involves eating repetitive, dull meals. However, Daily Harvest offers a wide variety to choose from at any time of day, making it a breeze to maintain those healthy habits. I really have been loving the butternut squash and rosemary soup. It's been my go-to for lunch, and I love having the dragon fruit and lime smoothie post-workout. It's so refreshing and filling, yet nutritious. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/husband to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/husband for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/husband.
And seriously, go check it out. I love Daily Harvest, and I know you will too.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey everybody, welcome back to our podcast. This is Murder with My Husband. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And he's the husband.
And I'm the husband.
We just want to say thank you to everyone who came to Pinner's this weekend. It was seriously one of the coolest experiences of my life, at least. I loved talking to all of you, and also to all of our new listeners from Pinner's or elsewhere. We are so excited to have you and can't wait for you guys to listen.
And also to everyone new that might be listening, I don't know any of the information that Peyton is telling me, everything she is telling me. I'm hearing for the first time every single crime she does. I don't know anything about it.
He's literally dumb. Just kidding. So also, we have to do 10 seconds with Garrett. So what are your 10 seconds today, Garrett?
All right, before we jump into it, I guess the 10 seconds would be, I love the beach and I don't like the cold.
Because it's snowing right
because
now?
Because it's snowing.
Why? He's staring out the window at the snow right
now. We're recording right now and I'm looking out the window and it's just snow's coming down like crazy.
It's kind of getting me in the Christmas mood a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that. No, that makes sense.
So our case sources for today's episode are from YouTube, PoConroeRecord.com, and 48 Hours Live to Tell. All of these sources and the exact link will be linked in our episode notes. So if you want to check those out, go ahead and go there. Our story starts on January 8th, 2000. An 18-year-old Danielle Keener was a freshman at Susquehanna University near York, Pennsylvania. She's getting ready for her second date with Dan Zapp, which is a cool name, by the way, I just have to say, who was also a freshman, but he attended Carnegie Mellon University instead. So they're both freshmen, but two different universities. They planned, at Danielle's mother's suggestion, to just kind of take a walk for this second date, maybe like in the area around Danielle's home, and maybe go down to the marina, but they were just going to kind of chill this date and get to know each other a little bit.
Okay.
Nervous but excited, Danielle and Dan make their way down the road, their date going good so far. They are by the water and are picking up stones as they walk and talk, and they're kind of skipping them into the water, which I don't know how to do, by the way. As they keep walking, Danielle and Dan notice a red pickup truck driving slowly down the road. The driver pulls up next to the couple and gets out. It's a middle-aged man who pulls out his Rottweiler dog to play in the water. The man makes casual conversation with Danielle and Dan and asks if the young couple needed a ride anywhere, explaining that they were just on a date and strolling the area. The driver lets his dog finish playing in the water before getting back in his truck and waving goodbye. He pulls his truck behind the couple and drives away. Danielle and Dan keep on walking, enjoying their time together, when once again they hear a car approaching, but this time it's from behind them. They turn around and realize that it's the man in the red pickup truck again. He must have turned his car around behind them and headed back down this way. He drives up next to Danielle and Dan, but this time he pulls his truck in front of the couple, blocking their path, and cuts the engine.
I feel like if that was us and I noticed that car behind us, the first thing I would think in my head is, holy crap, someone's following us. We need to get out of here.
Literally, I'm training you well because same, I'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been uncomfortable if we were the only two people on this road walking and there was like even any car driving slowly, like I would have been uncomfortable.
And maybe we're just turning into a paranoid couple because of all these stories, but.
Or you're turning into a paranoid couple because I've already been there.
We would just be running in
seriously
middle of the street away from this truck.
Yeah, like fast walking, just like don't look back, don't look back. So the driver of the truck opens his door, climbs out, and begins walking towards Danielle and Dan. Confused, but not alarmed, they wait to see what he could possibly want again. It's not until they see the gun pointing straight at them as the man walks towards them that they begin to panic. The man yells to them to get into the effing truck, and both Danielle and Dan know that something is seriously wrong. Dan begins to offer his wallet, keys, laptop, anything, but the man doesn't want any of it. He tells them once again to get into the truck. Danielle and Dan stumble into the truck at gunpoint. Danielle in the front and Dan shoved into the back with the dog, the Rottweiler.
I'm kind of curious what our listeners would do. Would you get into the truck or would you start running?
Well, if there was a gun with fear, I would probably get in the truck. I would hope I wouldn't, but I would probably just because I'd be scared for my life.
Do you know how far away he was when he told them that?
No, but I know he cut them off with his truck, so I'm guessing pretty close. They begin driving as the man is talking nonsense, just rambling and raging about nothing. Danielle notices that they eventually turn left onto an empty dirt road. The man drives all three of them down the road a little bit when he abruptly stops and tells them to get out. Danielle and Dan get out and wait next to the truck as once again, this man who seemed so normal the first time they just met him is now pacing manically in front of them. He's waving the gun around, firing rounds in between sentences into the river that is running alongside the dirt road.
Wow.
He'll say something like, I don't know what he's raging about. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do with you guys. And then shoot the gun into the river and then just keep doing it. And I think he was doing it as like a scare tactic to scare them. But he's also like a little manic right now. Like nothing he's saying is making sense.
That's so crazy. You think people would hear that?
Right. He keeps talking to them about how they both have seen his face now. And so he doesn't know what he's going to do with them. Danielle is huddling next to Dan. Although they barely know each other, this is only their second date. They were all they had at this point. Every shot into the river scared the young, vulnerable couple even more. Danielle tells the man that she will do anything, but please, please don't kill them. The man looks at her and says, "Anything?" He then ushers both Danielle and Dan back into the truck, Danielle again in the front, and Dan in the bed with the dog again. Now keep in mind, the bed has like a camper shell on it, which is basically just a cover for the bed of a truck. So it's not like Dan could just jump out and make a run for it any time sitting in the bed of the truck. Does that make sense?
Do you know if it's a two-door or a four-door truck?
Ooh, I think it was a two-door.
Okay.
Can you just imagine like though going back to the same spot? Like they all got out. Maybe there was some hope or at least change coming, but then all of a sudden he just puts them right back in to where they were just sitting and driving around for who knows how long. The man looks over at Danielle once she's him and her in the front seat and says, "So you said you'll do anything." And it hits Danielle what's about to happen next.
Oh.
And this breaks my heart because even growing up as a young girl, I knew if I ever got kidnapped or abducted, what that meant for me. Mm-hmm. It meant that I was most likely going to be sexually assaulted because why else would they want me? And this is most likely the same thought that ran through Danielle's head in this moment. Danielle doesn't fight it because she doesn't want to die and he has a gun. And so the man in the red truck rapes her in the front seat, with Dan in the back of the bed hearing everything.
Oh, that's horrible.
Afterwards, the man makes the couple get back out again. So he like finishes and then he's like, okay, both of you guys get back out of the truck again. So they're just like, what the heck? He then forces them at gunpoint to walk down towards the river. Dan grabs a hold of Danielle and embracing, they walk down to their fate together. And this makes me sad because, you know, normally on a second date, you wouldn't be like holding hands, embracing each other. Like you're still trying to get to know each other, even see if you like this person, but they're just clinging to each other because it's all they have at this point, you know? Danielle begins praying that the man had gotten all he wanted out of this and would let them both just leave. In the middle of the prayer, the gun goes off.
Oh.
And Dan, who had a hold of Danielle, falls to the ground. He had been shot in the back of the head.
I don't understand. I just don't understand the logic behind all they're doing is taking a walk exactly. by the river.
Yeah.
And some guy just comes up with a gun and just wants to kill people. Like, I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I just don't really understand the reasoning for doing it. Like, did he really want to murder someone, or was he just actually wanting to rape someone? And by the end of the night, these were the only two available. And so he did pick a woman that had a man with him. Does that make sense? Like, what's the motive here? Because it's not very clear.
How old was he again?
He's 40.
Okay, and then the
two young ones, they're like 19, 20. They're freshmen in college. 19,
20, and 40. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I have definitely learned as I've gotten older that fast fashion is just not it. High quality, versatile items that will last a lifetime are the only way to go. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I have their silk skirt. It's washable. It's literally one of my favorites, and I wear it all the time. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/husband for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/husband to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/husband.
Taking charge of your health means super mindful about what we put into our bodies, whether it's food or supplements. We are constantly on the hunt for the best options. That's why we can't wait to tell you about Thorne.
Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with their supplements. They manufacture all their supplements in the U.S. using top-notch ingredients sourced globally. Plus, they team up with leading medical professionals to bring you highly effective nutritional supplements. Whether it's their B-complex, creatine, magnesium citrate, or basic prenatal, Thorne's got all the supplements you need to help promote and maintain your goals. I take the vitamin D supplement because last time I went in and got my labs done, I was lacking a little in that area, so I'm really pumped about that.
With Thorne, we've never been able to question what's in each supplement because they go the extra mile when it comes to quality, manufacturing, and ingredients. In fact, they use such thorough testing and a super clean manufacturing process, they've earned some of the highest certifications in the industry. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/husband and use code husband for 10% off your first order. Again, that's thorne.fit/husband, code husband for 10% off your first order.
Thorne.fit/husband, code husband. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. All right, you guys, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And I don't know about you, but when I've been hanging out a lot, going out with friends, dinners, maybe my social battery completely drains and I need to take a few days to have a breather. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm a huge believer in therapy. And even if you're like, I just don't feel like I have much to talk about. I don't feel like I have all this trauma. You don't realize how much your body holds on to with stress and just unhappy emotions. It holds on to it. So it's nice to let it out and get it out. Keep your life in order, and that is something therapy can do for you.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/husband today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/husband.
So Dan has been shot in the back of the head. Danielle looks down and sees the blood coming out of Dan's mouth and knows that if he just got shot, she was definitely next. Instead of making a run for it, Danielle just kneels down next to Dan, tells him she loves him, and holds him. The man then shoots Danielle in the face and the shoulder.
Oh my gosh. That's horrible.
The man from the red truck then rolls both Danielle and Dan's bodies into the river, waits there a while until the bodies are taken away by the river, and then gets back into his truck and leaves the road. A short while later, a hunter named Pete Prowl and some of his friends are sitting in his truck near the same river. I'm guessing that they were hunting because that's why they would call him a hunter.
So my next question is, how far away is this river or where they're at from the city? Like, are they like way out there?
Yeah, I don't know, because I think it's the same river that like they were originally walking by, but he just drove them like farther away from civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Because also it said that they're on a dirt road, so it's not even paved.
Got it.
The hunter, Pete, notices two objects floating down the river and gets out to check what it could be. As the objects get closer, he notices that they are the bodies of Danielle Keener and Dan Zapp. When they get close enough to be pulled out, he reaches in and grabs both of them, noticing that both had obviously been shot in the face based on the wounds. It's dark, but as he scans the bodies for any more trauma, something feels off. He looks back up to the wounded, disfigured faces and realizes that there is movement. Danielle and Dan, although not speaking or reacting, are both alive.
They're both alive.
Barely alive.
So he got shot in the back of the head.
And it went through to his face. Yes.
And she got shot in the face front.
And the shoulder. She got shot twice.
I can't believe they're alive.
Pete, the hunter, immediately starts calling for help. He notices a car driving down the road and runs up to tell them they need to go into town and get help. There was no cell service where they were. The driver turns around and, once in range, calls 911. Pete notices that Dan's wounds are bleeding worse than Danielle's. The blood was just pouring out of his mouth. So he's like, we need help fast. Like, they're non-responsive. I don't even know how they're even breathing at this point. Danielle's parents' phone rings, and what they hear on the other end of the line is unbelievable. Their daughter had been shot in the face and was being rushed to the hospital. So they rush out of the house and head to York Hospital as well. Danielle's lower jaw had been shattered by the bullet to her face. Her teeth were missing, and her head was swollen to the size of a bowling ball, and her tongue was just shattered in pieces.
Holy crap, that's insane.
Dan's bullet had entered into his head, went through his windpipe, and out the other side. It was insane because that bullet actually only chipped his vertebrae. And luckily it didn't hit it, because if it had, he instantly would have been paralyzed or passed away. And it only chipped it. It didn't shatter it.
I was going to say, I didn't think it was even remotely possible to be shot in the face or the head or the back of the head and still be alive.
Seriously.
I thought it was more of an instant.
Especially you're dead. Two people.
Yes.
Like, they both get shot in the head and they're both alive.
The chances of that seem so low.
It's insane. So both Danielle and Dan were non-responsive, obviously. Police begin the search that morning the only place they can, up and down the riverbank where the hunter had found the two kids. Within minutes, they come across a pool of blood and three shell casings. At this point, police head back to the hospital in hopes that either Danielle or Dan could explain what happened now. Once they get there, they learn that Danielle was now in a coma, and Dan's wounds were so extensive that most doctors didn't even think he was going to make it very much longer. Police asked to go in and see him, eager, like, if we're going to solve this case, this is our only witness. So if we don't think he has a lot of time left, like, can we please try to talk to him? They decide to bring a notepad in because he's on a respirator, so he can't talk. Dan was also eager to communicate, and as much as he could, at least. And he described the man as being, so he's writing this on a notepad, a white male, 35 to 45, very drunk, blonde hair, brown hat, blue jeans, and Nike high tops. The gun was a pistol, and the dog was a black Rottweiler named Sam. Keep in mind, he just got shot in the head, and he wrote all of this for them, like, because he also didn't know if he had very much longer.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, at least catch him, you know?
But he had the, I guess, whereabouts to write all this? Like, insane. I can't believe he was coherent enough to do all that.
How was he even just
alive?
I feel like if that was me, I'd be like, poor me, like, I'm the victim and I'm in pain and I don't, you know, and he just was like, please go find this guy. It's just amazing.
All right, you guys, Audible is your one-stop app for all things audio entertainment, from bestsellers and the latest releases to celebrity memoirs and gripping mysteries. Audible's library is brimming with countless genres to love and new discoveries to make. Dive into an unparalleled selection of audiobooks and explore exclusive Audible originals brought to life by top celebrities, renowned experts, and fresh voices.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Plus, you can enjoy unlimited access to a growing selection of audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts such as Murder with My Husband.
Honestly, I love Audible because I will get into a story while I'm cleaning or driving. Sometimes I get so hooked listening to a story, I just end up finding new places to clean or just end up sitting in my car, which drives Garrett nuts, but I'm out there sitting there.
New members can explore Audible free for 30 days. Also, this March through May, the Audible sweep you into a realm of intrigue and suspense with their mystery and thriller collection, featuring exclusive new thrillers from their best-selling authors. Their selection is designed to captivate and surprise, ensuring your heart rate remains as elevated as your imagination.
New members can try Audible for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MWMH or text MWMH to 500-500. That's audible.com/MWMH or text MWMH to 500-500. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. So, I speak a little bit of Spanish. Okay, that's not true. I speak Spanish fluently for the most part, and Peyton has always wanted to learn a language, so she's actually started using Babbel, and she's going to use it the next time we go to Mexico, and I'm really excited to see how her Spanish is.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/husband. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/husband, spelled BABBEL.com/husband. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we're jumping into an ad real quick. This is Shopify. I personally love Shopify. I've been using it for 7-8 years now since I've met Peyton. I've been using it for so long. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
Whether you're selling sleuthing supplies or marketing mystery merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify's the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/husband, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/husband now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/husband, shopify.com/husband.
The truck was a beat-up red pickup truck with a white or gray shell cap. That's what he said. He also said there was a toolbox and a baseball bat in the truck. With this much information, probably the biggest being the dog's name, that he actually knew the dog's name was Sam.
I was going to say, I'm surprised he even remembered all this, because after what he just went through, you would think there's some sort of
like
trauma.
PTSD trauma that would block it out immediately.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's insane. It didn't take long, though, for police to come across a 40-year-old man named William Babner. He had a history of run-ins with the police, and so they immediately decide to do a photo lineup with Dan and see if he can pick him out. So they how they do this is Dan is in the hospital, can't talk, has a respirator, like barely alive, and they just print out pictures of a ton of people, and then they set him down in front of him and see if he can pick out which guy. As soon as Babner's picture was laid down in front of Dan, he reacted as much as he could. He he lifted his finger and just started tapping the picture as much as he could. Like,
oh, that makes me so sad.
Yeah. So he instantly knew, like, they didn't even have to finish the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, though, around this time, Danielle is taken out of her coma, but begins to struggle now that she's aware. She obviously still can't talk, like her tongue was shattered in half by the bullet and most of her teeth are missing. But she has fits of anxiety and writes on a notepad that she can't sleep because of the nightmares she's having. And I will post pictures of the messages that she was writing on the paper because it was kind of eerie to read, like the things that she was thinking that she couldn't say, but she was struggling really bad. Not only was she physically trying to recover, but mentally she had demons that she was trying to heal from as well now. Police are searching for Babner, but he's missing. He isn't at any known friends' houses or his place of residence. They eventually find Babner's truck parked in an apartment building parking lot. And so they bring in SWAT to stand guard and figure out how to handle. Like, they don't know what apartment he's in. They just know that mm-hmm. the truck that they think is his is in the parking lot. So they just like sit and wait. They camp out and wait to see who's walking in and out and what they can discover. They find out that Babner is in an apartment with his girlfriend and her child. They wait till morning, and as soon as the child gets out of the house and gets on the school bus, they enter in and arrest Babner because I think they were worried with a child being in there. They had to wait because they didn't want him to hurt the child.
Was it his kid?
No, the girlfriend's kid, and it's okay. Not his.
So it's not his kid.
They find all of the evidence that Dan had described. The outfit, Sam the dog was at the apartment, the red truck with the white shed cap, even the pistol that he had described was in the apartment. Dan's recollection was unreal. He literally had everything right, which is so rare for an eyewitness, especially a victim eyewitness.
I would assume, I could be totally wrong, but I mean, I would assume he's a very bright or smart kid
yes.
to remember all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I would assume because even down to like, oh yeah, the Nikes were high tops. How did you even like so notice crazy. That? It's insane. According to Live to Tell on CBS, investigators now had the what, the when, the where, and the who, but not the why.
It's always the why. Like, I would never, ever understand the why.
Yeah.
I think this is a big part of why we do this, but I don't.
Like, it just seems so pointless.
Yeah, it really does. And I assume everyone else listening, it's the same yeah. as, well, why?
Why?
Like, why do this?
Yeah. Everyone was happy, obviously, that this monster had been caught, but Danielle and Dan's conditions were still unstable and unknown. Could they even testify if they make it to trial? Would they be able to? Dan and Danielle wrote notes back and forth to each other in the hospital. It was hard because nobody but them knew what they had been through. And I have this soft spot for their relationship because it was only the second date.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting here like writing notes on these notepads back and forth because they're all they have because they just went through this super traumatic thing together.
Yeah. Wait, so was it the first or was it the second date?
Second date.
Got it. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
6 months after the incident, Babner refused to plead guilty. He wanted his day in court, which sucks for the victims that had to relive it.
Totally.
And I mean, I think everyone deserves a trial if they want one and everything, but it's like when you have to put victims like through that trauma and that PTSD, it's especially when you are like obviously guilty. What a selfish thing to do. Both Danielle and Dan did not want to be in the same room with Babner, but what could they do? They bravely decide to testify in front of their attacker and relive the trauma, the kidnapping, the rape, the attempted murder, all of it.
How healed are they at this point? Like how?
It's only been 6 months.
How much healing have they done? Like are they...
Physically?
Yes.
I was watching footage of them from recent years. And they still have scars and everything on their face. So okay. I can't imagine they like look
completely healed. Mm-hmm.
When Dan and Danielle were shot. So this all comes out at trial. When Dan and Danielle were shot, they both blacked out. It was when their bodies hit the icy water that he rolled them into that they both came to. When Danielle woke up, she realized that she was in the water, but not dead. She reached out for Dan in the water and found him. Keep in mind, she can't talk. They're not like, they're just kind of like, what the heck is going on? But they were rolled together. So when she wakes up, she finds him. He too was awake, but they could both see Babner standing near the edge of the water with the gun watching them. So Dan, like when they grabbed each other, Dan whispered to Danielle, do not move, pretend to float.
Oh, so he could talk still.
He literally said it to her. He whispered it. So they waited until they grabbed a hold of each other, floated, waited until they got far enough away and couldn't see Babner anymore before then like getting situated, understanding what just happened. They then bear hug each other and just continue to float, hoping to find shore.
This is so crazy. I can't imagine being in that situation. Exactly.
But how brilliant of him to say, play dead. Like, don't scream. Don't move. I know you're in a lot of pain. Like, I am too. Don't freak out. I can't even like that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And she was saying that she didn't have any energy. She couldn't swim. Like, she felt like she was about to pass out again. Uh-huh. And so he was holding on to her to make sure that she could like make it to shore if he makes it to shore, because she was like gone.
Unreal.
Danielle says that during this whole time, the only thing she can really remember is spitting her teeth out of her mouth with the blood. Like, she remembers having things in her mouth, like feeling like it was rocks and stuff, but then spitting it out and realizing that her teeth had been shattered by the bullet, and she was literally like emptying them out of her mouth in the water. Although the waters were dangerous and cold, it slowed the flow of their blood from their wounds, which kept them alive long enough to get discovered. So when you asked, oh my gosh, how did they not bleed out or anything? The water was that cold that it literally closed up the wounds a little bit. If they hadn't have been in the water, they most likely would have died.
So almost preserved their bodies.
Enough that when they got rescued and rushed, it gave them enough time to stay alive.
Okay.
And everyone was like, how did they not die out there? The water was freezing cold, but it literally helped them. Like, it saved their lives. Everyone says if they wouldn't have been in there, they most likely wouldn't be alive.
Did they not go into hyperthermia or anything?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
According to PoconoRecord.com, tire prints found along the river were matched up to Babner's truck when he was arrested in York. Also, hairs from Babner's dog were matched up with hairs found on Danielle's coat, which helped the prosecution's case. So not only were there like two witnesses who obviously said this is the guy who shot us, they also had hard physical evidence to prove it as well. So this going to trial was just so unnecessary. The verdict is announced and William Babner is convicted of 2 counts of attempted murder and much more. He was sentenced to over 100 years in prison in August of 2000. Danielle and Dan struggled with a relationship after the incident. They brought out the past in each other. So for a couple years, they couldn't even talk to each other because it resurfaced all this trauma for them.
I could imagine.
The transition back into college was also hard for both, as you can imagine. Danielle says that Babner may have taken a few things from her, but there was a lot about her that made her who she is that he didn't get to take.
Good for her.
And that's how she focused on healing. Danielle met someone in junior year of college, and they were married just a couple years later. Dan got married in 2007 to the girl of his dreams. Both the police chief and the hunter who pulled them out of the water were guests at the wedding. Danielle also has a little girl. After a couple years, Dan and Danielle were able to reconnect in a healthy way for both of them, and now they feel as if their souls are connected and they will be in each other's lives forever. And that's the story of Danielle Keener and Daniel Zapp.
We were talking to a couple people at a Pinner's conference about this. I don't get why they don't just confess. Like, exactly. Why do they hold it? And it's, I think we've talked about it in another episode. It just has to be an ego thing.
Yeah, it's narcissism. Like, they're just like, because this case is especially, he had no chance going to trial. He should have took a plea deal. There was no way he was convincing a jury that he didn't do this, especially when they were testifying and everything. And also, I heard that at trial, he didn't even really try. Like, he didn't testify. They never like brought any witnesses to the stand. It was more just like, I can't admit that I did it.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
Yes.
It really does.
It's disgusting, but it is something we just see so often with these cases.
And my other question was, I feel bad for example, like his girlfriend, right? Because then she gets involved in the case. She gets brought in.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't kill anybody.
Exactly. It just affects everybody.
It's a big domino effect to a ton of people.
And the girlfriend, she came out of the house first before he did, because obviously he knew that these kids had been found. And so he was in trouble and they grabbed her and were like, what are you doing? And she totally was like, oh yeah, he's in there. Like she totally folded on him.
Yeah.
And so then they were like, okay, well, when your kid comes out, whatever. But yeah, it was crazy intense. I will be posting all of the key images that have to do with this case on our social media. So if you're new here, that's kind of what we do. We tell the case and then we go have a thread going in the comments on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, just about what you thought about the case, any questions you had, if I missed anything and you're familiar with this case, and also all the key images. So if you want to check that out, we're Murder With My Husband on all of the platforms.
Also, if you get a chance and you like the podcast, please go and leave us a review. It really does help. We really appreciate all the support so much.
Just a reminder that if you subscribe and download, that helps us a lot. It's not something like you have to do, but if you enjoy our podcast, please subscribe and download. Also, you can turn on your notifications so you get notified exactly when we upload an episode each week.
And we will be back next week.
I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.